Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. If Carl Orff were still living, he would probably be a gazillionaire based on the licensing fees for this song alone. It's O Fortuna from Orff's Carmina Burana. The piece consists of 25 musical sections that are no longer than 4 minutes each and are taken from medieval texts dealing with fate and the unpredictability of the human condition.
While typical productions of Carmina Burana are presented in concert form, this version, opening tonight at Skylight Music Theater, is decidedly more animated, as you might expect from a collaboration between Skylight, the Milwaukee Opera Theater, DanceWorks Performance Company, and Chanticleer Chamber Choir. We are joined in the studio by Jill Anaponicek of the Milwaukee Opera Theater and Skylight, UWM faculty member Jana Ernst, Danny Kepper from DanceWorks, and Ben Bedrosky from Chanticleer. Jill Anaponicek begins by telling the story of the project.
It started percolating as we were planning the season for Skylight Music Theater and looking through lists of projects that had been considered in the past for classical programming. And they're, like, on this list, Carmina Burana just sort of jumped up to me right in that meeting, and I said it out loud, and then all of a sudden, it felt like I could see potential for doing it, that it could bring something special to Skylight and to other collaborating organizations, and saw the possibility of working with other groups to do something really different than previous opera programming at Skylight.
And so when did all of you get involved? When did she start bringing you in on these discussions, on these production meetings?
I think I was last. It's okay. But it was sometime,
we were saving it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Save the best for last. I was sometime in the summer, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'd been working on it, I think, longer than that. But.
I think it was this time.
That feels about right. It felt snowy. Year. I think I remember snow.
Yes.
And what my memory is that I also work at Milwaukee Opera Theater, and we were really interested in working with DanceWorks again because we've been on kind of an every other year schedule for almost 10 years now of developing a piece together on a pretty regular basis. So it was sort of time to consider a DanceWorks project. And I was really hoping, like, once in a while, you just know you're dying to work with a certain artist on a project. So then asking them is really scary because you put it off and you put it off because you don't want them to say no. And so Danny and I sat down, and I really, really wanted her to say yes. And I said, like, well, what about Carmina Burana? And what I remember her saying is, yes, I've been wanting to do big sweaty dancing, which is
true. It's a true story.
So gross, but yes.
Big sweaty dancing.
But then as soon as Danny said that, like, it's like I just started to relax into the project. Like, oh, that's enough to start building all of the other pieces. And then with this project, we did. Sometimes when you're putting together something large, the picture shifts as you're working on it. You know, you have one thing in mind, but by the time you get to the project, you're working with different collaborators or different people are involved. But in this case, everything that we said at that first meeting came to pass. Like, Chanticleer was the choral group that we were immediately excited about working with. So those first people said yes.
Yeah, and Chanticleer had collaborated with DanceWorks for Jason Powell's production of The Quest. And so that was really the only thing like this that we'd ever been involved with. But it was also at that time that Adam Kudishat, one of our singers, was in the process of getting ready for Zvadba. He was music directing that with Milwaukee Opera Theater. And he approached me during rehearsal one day and had asked, would you think being involved with Milwaukee Opera Theater and Skylight's Carmina Burana would be something you'd be interested in? And I thought, yeah, yes. I don't know how, but yeah, that was sort of what began the process for us. And then I had heard of Jelana, and, you know, knew a bunch of people who were in theater in town who were like, oh yeah, she's awesome, she's like a genius. And then I met her, and she's like, I thought she's a really nice genius, but
she's approachable,
as opposed to the mad kind.
Yes.
But even from the first conversation, I thought, oh, wow, I think working with a creative mind and team, like I knew I would be involved with Jelana and with Danny, I thought, like, oh, yeah, this is something that we want to explore further.
I was going to say big, sweaty singing to go with a big, sweaty
dancing.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have a way with words. But but really, when I listen to the music, I've said this before, because music isn't first, you know, the first thing that I'm skilled in, for sure. So without the same level of expertise is the way I'm listening and perceiving the music, you know, more just like someone that has only heard O Fortuna, you know, and it's sort of just in the background of your memory bank or something. But I know as soon as I started listening to the music, it just has that visceral sort of impulse, you know. And I intentionally tried not to know all kinds of details about the content of the music, because then I wouldn't be able to have that same kind of just natural reaction to, like, how does my body want to move, you know, what sort of emotional palette is it. So it's been really, really great to be drawn into the process.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, the music is so iconic now.
Yes.
In a way, it is quite simple in many aspects, like harmonically, right. Melodically, it's really repetitive. You can think about it, and it's satisfying to think about, but you also don't have to think about it to love it. You really just feel the sort of primal, whether it's primal and sort of ferocious or primal and ethereal. It connects with people on a really base level, I think.
Well, and you mentioned ethereal and also tender.
Yes. Oh,
there are a lot
so
of wonderful things in there that's not O Fortuna.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I know that's the set piece, but there's so much more to it.
Music, I'll go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think one of the first things that we observed as a group, like, for instance, it's very hard to listen to Carmina Burana while driving, because at any moment it's either too soft or way too loud.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, the piece itself is built out of high contrast. Yeah. Things are super high, super low, super fast, super slow, really loud, really soft, really angry, super gentle. Like,
yes.
It's everything is, like, constantly has this complement going on. So it's just this incredibly dynamic, roiling piece. And I think that gets to that feeling of primal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something that we share across time with other.
It's very immediate.
People. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, there's no intellectual thing holding you back or saying, like you said, Ben, we have to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any of that here.
No.
You know, it's obvious. You just get to be in it.
You get to be in it. The audience will just be able to enjoy themselves. And instead of maybe thinking so much, you get to experience. You get to feel, like Ben was saying. I think that was Orff's major intention.
And the language is sometimes functioning as an instrument.
You know,
language is, it does carry meaning. And we have responded to it. Our own interpretations of what that text means has informed the choreography and stage pictures. But it's also sometimes just it's part of the percussion, the vowels and the consonants and the repetition.
Yeah, I hadn't specifically thought of that, but it's almost like Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, when he writes songs, it's like he makes up sounds and then creates words around those sounds. It's very much like this, where some of the text, the literal meaning of the word is less important than the sounds that are used in a very percussive manner. And it's so rhythmic and percussive, you really get this sort of full sense of all of this communication of energies, be they like joyful or fearful or whatever is being expressed in the stage at that moment. Yeah.
Well, and we talked about the visual. And Danny, how many dancers do you have, or the singers dancers, or they're separate? Because I know in past things where you've collaborated, we've had separate.
Yep.
There have been movement specialists, and there have been singers, not necessarily the same people.
Yes, there are 7 dancers that were, you know, are either Dancework's performance company members or guests, but I think all but one are performance company members. But nonetheless, so there's 7 dancers, and we rehearsed a few sections that I did perceive as somewhat separate than, you know, like this stage picture, the singers are serving a different kind of purpose in this moment, you know, singing O Fortuna. Narrator isn't the right word, but that there's this sort of feeling of, we said,
they
being
create
one
like
with the
a
universe.
Solid backdrop.
Yeah,
and then the dance.
They're the storyteller.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
And then the dance sort of pops out against that, again, in a very physical kind of visceral way. But I accomplished all of that with the dancers ahead of time so that we could be very efficient in rehearsal. And then I reserved the rest of the concert, which is a lot of it, to really rehearse together the tavern scene.
It's a big one.
They do become indistinguishable at moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Singer from dancer. Yeah, and that was something that I wanted to do intentionally, you know, that it would be over time you would perceive them as a whole, including the children. There's five youth performers.
Some that have been drawn from DanceWorks, they've done DanceWorks projects before, and some have done Skylight projects before, or Milwaukee Opera Theater. So it's just been really great. And I really do think that we've achieved that goal, at least goal that I have. By the end, I don't think anyone's looking at the people on stage and thinking dancers and singers.
I'm so proud of that. I think it's one of my favorite things about what happened. But we made the choice to select 4 Chanclair members who signed up for a little bit more to be on stage with us.
A little.
Like an awful lot.
So
they may have thought they were signing up for a little bit more,
and
but it turns out
we just kept throwing stuff at them. And
the large ensemble has their own unique challenges, and they're singing on about half of the big numbers.
Yeah.
And these other quartet members are on stage, and they agreed to, well, we'll memorize everything, and we'll be there for, you know, pretty much the whole month of February, March.
But it makes us inseparable. And so we have this collaboration, and we're really not, like, there are moments when each organization sort of takes the lead, but you cannot tell the Chanclair Four from the Skylight performers. And there are moments when we're all in the tavern, and other than when someone does an arabesque, like, you can't tell which ones are the dancers and which ones are the singers. And I love that. I love that it's not just the choir up in the gallery, like, oh, that's where Chanclair is. Like, they're in both places. They're on stage and in the gallery. Mm. And the dancers are in the scene work with us as well as doing total choreography.
Well, and it's going to be fantastic because when everybody is doing their thing with this, you can't help but just be sucked into it.
Absolutely.
And just go for the ride and have a great time.
It's a great show to bring kids to as well. I've been telling everybody that. It's only 1 hour and 10 minutes. There's no intermission. So even on a school night, it won't be that bad. And the kids, they're going to just love it. There's so much going on. It's really for everybody. It's really just wonderful.
The ORF stuff is usually, that's where you first usually get, at least I did, you know, elementary school, it was we heard.
That's a total gateway piece.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. It's the gateway drug into other opera. You know, you give them ORF, and the next thing you know, they're listening to
Beethoven
the Ring Cycle.
Yeah.
It's like, no, Mom, I've got to be here 19 hours and finish the Ring Cycle.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, truly it is, because it is so rhythmic. I mean, it's great for kids. Mm-hmm. It's melodic. Mm-hmm. It's all of the things that you want. It's theatrical.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, it's
everything
just
is staged. There's nobody's sitting around. We're moving.
And so the piece in and of itself, and then its construction, it's continually shifting. It doesn't do a 20-minute exposition on on a sort of development of a theme. It always has
like some composers we could name.
Yes.
It always has very distinct contrasts. And I think even beyond that, then, for this production, is that thinking visually, like, how do I say this without insulting people nowadays? Our generation that
are
can't
you talking
really
about our short attention span?
Yeah, can't pay attention to, you know, that will scroll through news feeds and things. They won't have a hard time being completely engaged. And I actually would think if I was not involved here, if I just was in the audience, that I would feel I would need to see this production multiple times just to get everything that's happening, because there's so much sound-wise that's happening that will be happening with the percussionists and pianists, that the singers on stage, the singers from the balcony, and then to see the staging and the beautiful movement, but also the like whole body expression that especially that watching a lot of the dancers do is really breathtaking. And then along with that, to think about, you know, not just the details of what's happening, but what's being expressed, which I think that's been a really cool part to see this evolve, to listen to the discussions that we're having. There's a lot of meat to think about, even if you're just experiencing it and sort of taking in the immediate emotions.
Yeah, I would say all inside of this hour, there's passion, there's joy, there's incredible sorrow, and
it packs a punch.
Yeah, there's there's hilarious
stuff.
We're
trying to hit the whole life cycle.
We did. Yeah, I think we did. I think people are going to leave the theater going, what was that? That was amazing. Yeah. I want to see that again.
Yeah. So the question is, will this kind of collaboration happen again amongst the four of you?
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't want to think about this one being over. Yeah, Bonnie, I'm not ready.
Don't leave me. Don't ever leave me.
No, it's been really, really great. You know, just to see what can happen when you really work together and really with no forgive me if I missed one, but with no moments of conflict, so to speak.
No, actually, it's been almost too easy. Yeah, like, we're just all on the same page, and we're all,
we developed it together.
We really
so we really
did.
Started with a blank page and created it together.
Carmina Burana opens tonight at the Cabot Theater in the Broadway Theater Center. We spoke with stage director Jill Anaponicek, music director Jana Ernst, choreographer Danny Kepper, and conductor Benjamin Bedrosky. There's more information at WUWM.com.